And welcome into the Friday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. Hope everybody's off to a fabulous start this morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz. It is always about great service. Joe Rex Road, good morning. What's going on?
Yeah, nothing much. Been in here since like, 4 something. I mean, I know that normally we have pre-show meetings that start at 2, but, like, today we were kind of going to try to ease up on that. But it's like you wake up.
Yeah, Friday,
like,
casual Friday.
Exactly, casual Friday. You're going to try to – but anyway, I mean, it's incredible. Like, got on the highway at – I think it was like 4:10? Like 4:15? And it's just packed. 24
really?
Is packed.
I noticed extra traffic today for some reason.
But, like –
what's going on out there at 4 o'clock in the morning?
It felt busy today.
I mean, I guess, like, I get, okay, you start work at 5, maybe get off at 1, then you're going to miss it. But, like, how many people are able to start that early?
I don't think that many.
Where are they all going? Who are these
and
people?
Most, frankly, most people would choose not to. They'd be like, no, I'll sleep in a little bit longer.
Well, that's what I would think, too. But, like, it's just absolutely jammed up.
Strange.
Like, I'm used to it being jammed up at 5, 5:15, whatever. Okay, I get that. I mean, a fair amount of people start work at 6.
Sure, yeah.
But, like, does it ever have any time when it's just calm at all?
I guess not.
24 is the hellscape.
The week that school starts back, it's just, for whatever reason, no matter what time of day. Like, even last night, we had a place to go to for Allison last night, and at like 6:30, it's just jammed everywhere. And it's like, well, you should all be off work. You're definitely all out of school. Why is everybody still out here on the road? I just don't understand it. Just jammed up.
Yeah.
It's the week of school.
We need more roads, less people and cars.
See if you can get on that.
Well, I've been saying a lot of things for a long time, and no one listens to me. So, Nolensville Pike, looking good these days, folks.
Yeah, absolutely. Ian Safar, how are we doing? What's going on?
Oh, I'm doing great. Happy Friday, everybody. Some Titans preseason football to get excited about weekend, huh?
We got all kinds of football. There's football last night. There's more football coming tonight. We got Titans football tomorrow. Big weekend of preseason football coming up this weekend. We're going to get into the Titans joint practice with Tampa Bay. We'll get into some highlights from that. Plus, Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com will join us for the entire 7 o'clock hour. He was there yesterday. We'll get his thoughts on what he saw. And then TD at 8. So we got a lot of Titans talk coming your way today here on the program. Joe, we begin, though, with somebody in the Titans division who was on the field last night. The Indianapolis Colts got out there last night and 8 minutes into the game, Anthony Richardson was leaving with injury. So he gets out there, and there is an unblocked free rusher that comes out. It looked like, and there are people, all over the place on Twitter breaking down every possible place that Anthony Richardson could have gone with the football on this front, and he didn't. And he got absolutely smoked last night, got knocked out of the game. It looked like it could have been like kind of a hand or arm injury. It was a pinky, and when your pinky's pointing the other way, that's not really what it's supposed to be doing. But Shane Steichen, quote, said, the pinky popped out, popped back in, so it sounds like a dislocated pinky that he was dealing with last night. So I guess in the grand scheme of things, it could have been worse for Anthony Richardson, but not great that, in what is going to be a massive year for Anthony Richardson, Joe, 8 minutes into a preseason game, he's getting knocked out there.
Yeah, that could have been worse. So, although if your job is to throw a football, how long until something like that feels okay? And how long until something like that doesn't affect you at all? I don't know. But I trust Jeff Schwartz. I think I like his film breakdowns, and he's really good with offensive line stuff. He's a former offensive lineman. So he broke it down, and it made sense. I mean, you look at that play, and it's just a protection that, like, the quarterback's hot. So, like, yep. he has to know that there's one extra guy on that side. So it's one. He didn't get into this, but to me, it's like either you change something so your back stays in in pass pro, or you have to know that's happening, and you immediately
get rid of the ball,
get it to the back, and you get 4 yards. And you, but he didn't. He looked. I mean, again, to me, when you break it down, it's another example of like him not being ready. So, I, as much as I want to just blame the Colts for screwing him over, that's a play that he has to recognize, and so he didn't, and so he took that hit. And how many of some of the hits he's taken are stuff like that? I mean, the one the Titans hurt him on was not. It was just a designed run, and he got taken down hard. But I didn't think he looked good before either. It was just a like three passes, but late, almost threw a pick on one, back foot, locked in.
Yeah, it
on
turns out he may not be very good.
Yeah, like Daniel Jones came in and was, again, he got to play a lot more, but, I mean, he was clearly better when I'm watching it. So it just feel bad for him. But, again, it also just seems like, you know, that stuff is important. No one talks about, like, recognizing protections and calling the right protections and things like that at the line, but that's a huge part of it. Pre-snap is a huge part of this whole thing, and it appears that he got himself hurt.
But, you know, we've talked about quarterbacks who maybe don't always have the best offensive line that can still avoid sacks. You know, it's not perfect. You're never going to be perfect at avoiding sacks. But, Joe, a large part of that comes down to recognizing what you're seeing from the defense and knowing where to go with the football immediately, right? And if you can't do that at a pretty high level at the quarterback position, you're going to get hit more often. Like, it's science, man. It's what it is. Like, yeah. if you can't recognize what's going on in front of you, you're just going to get smoked out there. And he got destroyed on that play. And, you know, we all saw the pinky originally, and it looked bad. Gross. And I was like, man, that was disgusting. But, you know, I was hoping that, and I don't want to see a kid get hurt. I'd love to see him play this year. Frankly, I have no interest in watching Daniel Jones play football for the Colts. I know Titans fans might, but like I'd like to see what Anthony Richardson is. But I just, the more and more you watch him play, the more you have to come away wondering, like, does he have the ability to protect himself out there? And I don't know that he does.
Yeah, and again, the reports are like he's had some really good days out there and has looked better than Daniel Jones. And then you watch him in a situation where you're playing football, you can be tackling that stuff. And I again, it's a very small glimpse of him, but part of the reason is him, that it was a small glimpse of him.
I do wonder, like, philosophically, when it comes to these quarterbacks who don't have a lot of playing time in college, and this would be like Richardson here, they're like, okay, he needs to sit to learn, but is he really gonna, how much is he really gonna learn if he's not gonna play?
It's a good question.
It's like kind of like this double-edged sword where he's not ready to play, but how much better can he really get if he's just going to sit the bench for however long?
At this point, that's out, right? That's what they should have done 2 years ago.
From the start?
2 years ago, it's just like he's just like,
how much would him sitting his rookie year ultimately have helped? I mean, honestly, you know, never know that.
Yeah.
But given what we see now, would that have really helped, considering how much he hasn't played?
Not necessarily.
It's a good question because, like, there are some people that can do that can sit in a classroom or watch film, and they can pick up a lot of stuff that way. And some people cannot do that. Some people are like, unless I'm doing it, this information is not staying, man. So I have no idea where Anthony Richardson falls in that sort of scale.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think basically – and this could change at some point, and he could be one of those guys somewhere else that, oh, wow, at 26, 27 years old, he's figured it out. But I think between just – he just doesn't have a good feel. I don't think he has a good feel for it. And then also all the injuries, those things are probably – like you could probably sit 2 years and then play, and then like those are still going to be problems for you. But I still also think that – I'd still want to try it if I was a Colts, go back in time and not rush him and then just see where it leads, you know, because there's also confidence as part of this too.
You know how I blame for all that stuff that went down last night? This guy.
All right, guys, I'm back in this preseason. Let's do it! Woo! This is our Colts. This is our team. We bleed blue. This is our Colts, whether win or lose. Give them Edgar Allan woes. This is our team. Go Colts.
They deserve all the bad things that happened to him this year.
Oh, my God.
It's the ending I like the best, I think.
The nay.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
But the Edgar Allan woes? I mean, this dude is out here.
He's been rehearsing that one all offseason.
Yeah. My goodness. What's his name? Do we have
a name? I have no clue.
I mean, someone has to know. I was sending that to a lot of friends last night.
I'm glad you were.
My little brother's like, what have you done to me?
I think his name is Seth.
Okay. Yeah, the TikTok says The Flow with Seth.
So Seth, I'm going to assume is his name.
Seth, my goodness. Indy Ben, your thoughts.
Yeah. Well, we do have Johnny on YouTube wondering if we need to have a wellness check on Indy Ben this morning. I don't know how Indy Ben's feeling last night. He'd probably be encouraged by Daniel Jones. Jared from Spring Hill is loving Tyler Warren, so maybe that's where Indy Ben is focused on this morning.
Yeah, Jared from Spring Hill needs a better tight end. I get it. Someone says, "What the fart?" Hey, that's fandom.
Look,
right,
man,
there.
Let me tell you, another text says, "Surely that Colts audio was a bit." I'm just telling you, man. You're gonna find it this season. If you didn't see it last season, looks like you're gonna see it every week this season. He painted his face this time too. Before he sang that song.
Yeah, yeah, and like the bleed blue, he kind of like.
Yeah,
yeah, you,
there's hand motions.
The video makes it even better. Logan says that was as cringe as listening to Joe speak to NWI. Come on now, we're buddies. It's fine.
Also, I think Joe might have been more cringe that time. That was good.
Yeah, but we've played Seth before, right?
Oh, yeah, I think we've played him before.
But that, I mean, the Edgar Allan woes.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
That's pretty good, man. That's pretty good.
Yeah, again.
I got to say.
They deserve everything that happens to them. And I'm not wishing injury on people, but I mean, come on. I was like, I saw that video first, and then I saw Richardson get hurt, and I was like, well, that about adds up. That's good.
Indy Ben usually spins things in a very positive way. Yeah. I'd like to hear Indy Ben's spin on all this.
I'd certainly like to hear Indy Ben's spin on that video.
Yeah.
It'd be good. What do we think of the Colts guy that sings all these songs to "This Is Our God" by Phil Wickham, which is the song he's using?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Are we sure that that's not Indy Ben? Are we sure that Seth is not the real life version of Indy Ben?
You know,
I don't know that that's not Indy Ben.
I have no idea. I've never seen Indy Ben. At least I don't think so.
Never met him in person. Yeah, unless he's been spying on us.
I mean, the odds would say it's obviously a Colts fan, so the odds are going up that that's Indy Ben right there. I hope it is. That'd be awesome. If I ever found out it was. We'd have a lot of fun with that here on the show.
Let us know, Indy Ben. Send us video of you so that we can confirm or deny that you're him.
Skyler says, don't hate on Indy Ben. The Colts are possibly better than the Titans. Maybe. We'll see.
Well, that's fine, but that doesn't mean that you can't hate on the Colts and Indy Ben. I mean, if they both suck, does that mean you have to leave one of them alone? No. You can make fun of both of them.
615-737-1025. Our phone number. Things apparently got a little spicy between the Titans and the Bucs yesterday. We'll get Joe's thoughts on that coming up next. Again, Paul Kuharsky will be with us throughout the entire 7 o'clock hour this morning. TD coming up at 8, so we got a lot of Titans talk coming your way. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Well, Paul Kuharsky coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. We'll go through the joint practice for the Titans against Tampa Bay yesterday, where apparently things got a little spicy out there. A fight on the field, Cody Barton in the middle of it, Jeffrey Simmons in the middle of it, and fight may be a, you know, little bit of a loose term. I don't know if people were out there just throwing punches at each other's head, but some shoving, pushing going on out there. You know, Jarvis Brownlee getting after a fan yesterday a little bit. We'll get Joe's thoughts on that here in just a second. But the fight apparently breaks out. Titans get away from St. Thomas Sports Park over there and show a little feistiness out there. And apparently Cam Ward from like 20 yards away while this fight was going on just took the football and was trying to find anybody wearing a red jersey out there. Here's what Cam Ward had to say yesterday on the practice scuffle that he was a part of.
Did you have a target when you threw your aerial support?
Yeah, I had a target. I was trying to hit one of them boys in red jersey. So, I mean, it was good. That's what football comes to. We dapped it up right after practice. Ain't no big deal. But, I mean, I'm excited. You know, the team know I got their back. They're going to have mines. And, you know, might have another skirmish, but I know we're going to be together.
So Cam Ward playing the role of sniper out there, Joe, just standing back about 15, 20 yards away from the scrum and firing a football in there. What'd you make of that development?
Yeah, yesterday? That's a new one. I mean, I guess maybe I've seen someone throw the ball at someone when they're coming at them type thing, right? Something like that. But actually just be like, you know what, let me just pick out fish in a barrel. Let me just go ahead and find somebody and see if I can, you know, throw a rocket right into their helmet. That's a new one, man.
I mean, I kind of love it.
Yeah?
I mean, I heard Kuharsky was on with DVD yesterday, and we'll trust me, get a full breakdown of what Kuharsky saw from Cam Ward's aerial support, as he phrased it. it didn't sound like it was, you know, him just rearing back and firing a, you know, fastball in there. He just kind of, you know, casually threw the football in there. But it is kind of hilarious to think about Cam Ward 20 yards away from a fight, just absolutely gunning a ball in there, trying to hit somebody in red.
Yeah, it's like you want to, you know, you want to participate, you want to support your teammates. Everyone would be completely furious at you if you, as the number one overall pick rookie, actually got into the fight.
Yes,
right?
So they
it's like,
would.
Well, I got a football.
Let's just throw it.
I can do something with this. Well,
hopefully,
you know?
I'll be getting paid a lot of money one day to throw this football. Let's continue to practice right here.
That's right. Well, I mean, he already is getting paid a lot of money, but money. Yeah, yeah. But like, yeah, like generational money.
Yeah,
yeah. So yeah, I don't know. So you got that. You got the, you know, fight. I saw, like, there was also, like, the video of Jeff Simmons, yep, and one of their linemen who Simmons was kind of really, like, taking it to him, and then he sort of, like, did the ole, and so Simmons hit the ground, which, of course, Bucks fans like, oh, yeah!
I saw that.
Then, of course, Simmons gets all mad. Then the Jarvis Brownlee, and there was video out there for people who haven't seen it of him.
Yelling
some
at
Bucks,
a fan.
I couldn't tell, like, what the Bucks fans were saying to him.
I don't know.
But those Bucks fans must be rabid if they're like, let's mess with Jarvis Brownlee. let's target Jarvis, yeah, Brownlee today. Yeah. You know, I really want to get in under that guy's skin. But they did, and he had to be, you know, had to be
restrained.
Held back, restrained. Like, yeah, eh, calm down, man, a little bit. So, I mean, you know, if
a fan in a practice seems a bit much, no?
Yeah, seems like it.
But yeah, it's a bit much. So
I mean, last year, Jeff went after Andrew, so maybe we're making some progress.
Well, right? That is true. So that's the thing. So is this like, is all of this like Brian Callahan has no control, or is all of this, hell yes, Titans.
No more OT.
Get on the road, up that T a little bit in Titans, and let's see.
Listen,
let's find the dog in the Titans.
Time to put the uppercase T back.
That's right.
Depends on what your perspective is.
I will speak for me and me alone. Okay, I'm not going to sit here and dog them for a week and a half of having no energy and then get mad when they show a little energy. That's just me. I'm not going to. And people, look, I understand you can't go around pushing and shoving each other in a game. I get it. You're going to get flagged, so I don't want that in a football game. I don't love the Jarvis Brownlee, you know, having to be restrained from a fan type thing. That's a little bit much.
Yeah, grow up a little bit there.
Grow up a little bit there. But, I mean, other like them showing a little fire yesterday, I'm not going to sit here for a week and a half and talk and everybody's telling me how there's no energy out there and then complain when they start to show a little bit of energy. That's just kind of my original takeaway from it yesterday. You know,
yeah.
Cam Ward, again, when I first read the Cam Ward stuff yesterday, it kind of, you know, people made it seem like he just ripped back and absolutely just hurled one at somebody. And it doesn't really sound like that was the case. We'll get the official clarification from PK a little bit later in the show, but I have no problem with the Titans showing a little bit of fire yesterday.
Well, Chuck says he wished, you know, that he could have had a longest yard moment, just a straight up wind up and
amazing,
just right to the groin of one of the opponents. No, I basically agree with you. It's like, yeah, the Brownlee. First of all, someone needs to show me the joint practice where it's like, well, got through that day with no incidents whatsoever.
Does not happen.
Yeah, it doesn't exist. It's 90 guys on one side, 90 on the other. The old cliche, sick of hitting each other and all that stuff. And it's just a different energy. And these are competitors. These are not low T, typically, competitors. Very high T competitors. So
capital T.
Yeah, exactly. So you totally expect that. Yeah, the Brownlee stuff, yeah, calm down, man. You know, I mean, I need to know what the fans said. Probably won't know, but it's like if they said something disgusting, then that's, you know, but then you also, even then, you're like, get this idiot out of here,
yeah,
you know. But Yeah, the fight and the Cam Ward. I mean, I thought it was pretty funny actually. I kind of like what he said too.
I mean, too. It's like, yeah, I was just trying to find somebody in red over there,
yep,
man. Yep, that's the only thing I was worried about. Is there somebody wearing red? I would like to hit him with this football right here.
Someone here says Brownlee laid a Bucs receiver out. Apparently, he did. Emeka Buka.
Yeah.
He did at one point. Lay him out. So I didn't. Was that right after the incident with the fans? So there you go. The fans got him all fired up for a drill.
You don't mess with Jarvis Brownlee. Who worked against you,
Bucs fans?
Thinking back to last year, Joe. Yesterday, I mean, Brownlee must have been right in his element. You know, it was, you know, it's 99 degrees out there. Yeah. You remember the Washington game last year where Brownlee was the one where he's like, "Hey, nobody in here is gonna say it, so I will." It's pretty cold out there. All right,
48 degrees.
It's cold.
It's
like 40 degrees out there. It's pretty cold. So nobody else going to tell you guys that? I will. It was pretty cold out there today.
Just going to tell it like it is. Yeah, yesterday he probably didn't even have to wear like the thick gloves.
No, he's fine.
Yeah,
he's
long sleeves, I'm sure. But
that definitely sounds like someone from Florida where the only appropriate temperature is 75 to 80.
Yeah.
If it's over 80, it's too hot. If
that's
it's under 75, it's too cold.
Yeah. I mean, the more I think about it, the more that's kind of me. I'm like, yeah. All right.
You're more of like 92.
90,
is
yeah,
ideal.
Yeah, 90's fine. There's nothing wrong with 90, 92.
The Floridians are dealing with, you know, like 110 this summer. So, so yeah. If
could be 118
that,
like Phoenix. New record.
Yeah, dry heat, though.
That's right, it's a dry heat.
Yeah.
Don't forget that.
Yeah, dry heat. No, I have no problem with the Titans showing a little bit of fire yesterday. Now, you know, the Brian Callahan losing control part of this. We've talked about this before. Like, remember last camp where he had the opportunity to throw Jeffrey Simmons out of practice and he didn't do it, and then, you know, all the Andrew stuff that happened the next day and all that stuff. So, like, we've talked about, does Brian Callahan, has he learned how to rein some of this stuff in? I don't want the Titans doing this every day. Like, I don't want the Titans, you know, there to be six fights next week between the Titans and the Falcons in their joint practices. But, you know, every now and then, showing a little pushback, I got no problem with. And again, as long as it doesn't get out of control, you're going to see this in every joint practice and every training camp out there for the most part.
Yeah. And you're going to see 98 in joint practices and regular practices.
At the center of most of it.
Yeah. That's who he is. Yes. Last year, I think in the wake of the Andrew stuff, something should have, like, you can't, you can't do stuff like that, especially like, you got people waiting for autographs.
Yeah.
Come on. Like, that was something that at least needed more of like a public rebuke, you know, I guess, from Callahan. But yeah, this stuff is all fine. Again, other than Brownlee, and they need to have more energy. They need to have. Obviously, that's all. Like you said, that's all anybody's been talking about. So there you go, more energy.
Yeah, more energy.
And they actually did some decent things in football, apparently.
Well, and apparently that was the case yesterday. We talked about what we wanted to see from the Titans heading into the practice yesterday. What do we make about what we've heard of what went down there in Tampa Bay? Again, Paul Kuharsky, who was there, will be with us for the entire 7 o'clock hour. So we'll get into a lot of this with him as well. Coming up next hour, we'll continue the discussion coming up next. Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5 The Game. Later today on 94.9 The Fan, the Sounds take on Jacksonville at First Horizon Park. First pitch coming up at 6:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. Joe, apparently Cam Ward and the offense with a decent day yesterday against Tampa Bay. Jim Wyatt in the final total had Cam Ward 20 of 30 yesterday in the joint practice against Tampa Bay. Did throw an interception in that practice, but 15 of 24 in the team periods, 20 of 30 overall on the day. So, again, we'll have Paul Kuharsky coming up here in just a few minutes at 7 o'clock, and we'll get his thoughts on Cam Ward as a whole. But, Joe, I said yesterday, what do I want to see from the Titans against the Bucs? Hold your own. Like, make it a competitive practice. You know, I didn't expect the Titans to go out there and just dominate anybody. But don't get yourself – like, don't get dominated when you go out there. And I apparently, by the reports, the Titans held their own out there against Tampa Bay on both sides of the football, which is good to hear at this point in camp.
Yeah. I don't know that it – necessarily means a lot, but if you want to compare to last year, that was it was more of like a there's quite a gap between these two teams when Seattle came in here, and this sounded like your typical win some, lose some, be solid, hang in there against a decent team. So yeah, it's better than like, oh God, these guys couldn't get on the field with maybe the best team in the NFC South, but the best team in the NFC South doesn't necessarily mean a ton these days. Yeah, not a very high bar. So, yeah, I think overall you have to be happy with that. Does it really translate to anything this season? Not necessarily, but it does seem like there's some progress being made, some learning happening, some improvements in some areas, which is definitely what this time of year is for.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I was worried that the offense was going to get out there and just get absolutely punked by that Tampa Bay defense, and it looks like that did not happen. So that's good to see. Now, you know, we'll get to PK later in the show coming up about the one-on-ones, because apparently the one-on-ones did not go very well for the Titans offensively yesterday, which is not great. Like, you know, that's a drill that is basically set up for the offense to really win the majority of those. And when you don't, that's not a great look for the offense part. But team period, I guess at the end of the day, if you want to be glass half full and you're a Titans fan, team period and actual 11-on-11 football is ultimately what matters in this. And it feels like the Titans kind of held their own in that area yesterday.
Yeah, there was the Eli Iomanner rep where he absolutely torched his guy.
That's pretty good.
Got a lot of play yesterday, and then there was one with Ridley too where –
a little slow-mo start.
Yeah, a little hesitation and then just blow past the guy. So those two were good. But, yes, Kaharski emptied his phone onto the internet to prove to people that things actually weren't that great. So thank you, Paul.
Well, he put out the videos of the one-on-one, and then he followed up. His video was titled, "The Bulk of Titans Passing One-on-Ones. Not great. Not good." And then he followed it up a few minutes later and said, "If you're claiming that I'm being harsh, your standards are ridiculous. I did not get to every play, but in 16, I had 6 overthrows, 4 drops, and an underthrow to go with very nice plays by Van Jefferson against Bryce Hall, Bryce Oliver against Zion McCollum, and Io Manor taking on Tyreek Funderbunk," which is a fun name down there in Tampa Bay, "and Matt Landers against Jamel Dean." So missing here, Calvin Ridley on a final play put rookie Roman Perotti on skates. So yeah, Ridley looking good yesterday.
Yeah.
That's good to know. I mean, it's your number one wide receiver, so it'd be nice for him to look good out there.
You would definitely hope so. I did look at the comments, and some people just they don't want truth. You know?
I have learned about the Titans, and I don't think this is specific to Titans fans, but there is a significant segment of Titans fans that unless you are just ungodly positive about them, like just over the top positive about it, they think that you are like just in total hatred of
hater.
Yeah,
just you want this guy to
despite
fail.
Despite the fact that
you
they
want that
you know,
guy to fail,
they can't win football games over the last couple of years. Despite that, like if you have any sort of negativity or doubt towards their football team, they think that you are just like you know the worst person on the planet.
Right. So those people, like the fact that they're even interacting with Kaharski, it's like,
what do you expect?
Yeah. You should have just moved on. Your delicate sensibilities are that fragile, then you definitely should just like block Paul Kaharski. And again, I don't think he's unfair at all, but yeah, he's going to say if something stinks or not.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Like to me, like I get it. You want to hear some good things about your team, but what I want to hear about my teams is like what's going on out there, right? Like I'm a big Tennessee guy, right? Like, if Tennessee looks terrible out there, I'd like to know about it, right? Like,
How dare you, Adam Sparks?
It's like, wow.
Why do you hate Aguilar? Why do you hate him?
Yeah, like, if none of the quarterbacks can complete a pass in camp before the Syracuse game, I'd really like to know about that walking into the Syracuse game. So I could be like, all right, let me manage my expectations walking into this one.
Exactly.
That's just me.
Texter says, I'm not a positive person. I'm very jaded and assume the worst most of the time because most of the time it is. But am I the only one that has positive expectations for my boys in Two-Tone Blue? We're way better than our predicted 3-5 season. 3-5 win season, I assume he means. Come on!
We'll see. I mean, some people think that they're going to be way worse. Like, some people think Titans win one game this year. So, you know, the truth probably lies somewhere in the middle. All right, look, let's be honest. It's hard to look at their roster and their schedule and come up with, like, 9 wins. I think you're being really optimistic, and it's going to require Cam Ward to be, I don't know if exceptional is the right word, but it's going to require Cam Ward to be really, really good if they're getting anywhere close to competing for a playoff spot this year.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So expectations should be managed. Then you have the other side. You have Mike here who says, what I make of that is Big Jeff got mad because he was being pushed around. He wouldn't even because they didn't double-team him. He said, the kid sucks, man. They should have traded him. I said, well, the rep, I saw he was pushing the lineman back, and the lineman pulled the chair. He kind of like – and he sort of chucked him to the side, and Jeff hit the ground. He said, more than one time, and try hard to pull the chair for somebody in the front. He got beat like always. Okay. So that's right. So Jeff Simmons actually is a terrible player who always gets beat.
Good to know.
There's that, and then there's the Paul. How dare you? It's a magical tapestry.
But everything we just talked about kind of goes back to what I'm amazed by every year, and people are all in on football, whether it's football practice, football one-on-one videos, whatever it is. People love their football.
I know, man.
I'm with you. Yeah. I'm the same way.
It really is. It's amazing. And again, I'm not going to get mad at people. If you're media, if you have an open period to take video, people are going to watch them. I can't blame somebody for doing it. But sometimes, and everybody should do this in life, sometimes you do need to step back and be like, what are we doing? Yeah. Why are we making a big deal out of these things? But I will say, like last night, I watched most of that Colts game, and then I still was staying up watching because I was like, ooh, Geno starting for the Raiders. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Geno. All right, I'll watch a little AOC. And now I got Santa in Portland ripping me because Genty had a rough night. He carried the ball 3 times in a preseason. He's just trolling, right?
I don't know. I did not watch Ashton Genty last night.
He got 3 carries.
Right.
Great. They tackled him on those 3 carries. I think he'll be all right. We'll see.
615-737-1025, our phone number. A lot more of your thoughts to get to on the Titans. We will do that coming up next. Paul Kuharsky will be with us for the entire 7 o'clock hour with his thoughts on what he saw yesterday for the Titans joint practice in Tampa Bay. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Titans. 615-737-1025. They open the preseason tomorrow on the road in Tampa Bay. Kuharsky will be with us in the 7 o'clock hour, and we'll go through all things Tennessee Titans with him. We got TD coming up at 8, so a lot of high-level Titans talk coming your way over the next hour here on the program. 615-737-1025. Coy in Clarksville asking Joe, what position battles are you curious to watch during the first preseason game tomorrow?
Yeah, that's an interesting thing when you ask that question. How many position battles do the Titans have?
Right.
I thought we would have a position battle at inside linebacker, but I think James Williams is the guy. Again, at safety, I heard Jake and Connor talking about this the other day, and it's like, you know, the Quandre Diggs. Yeah. To me, he's competing with Mike Brown. That's who he's competing with. That's not I think Xavier Woods, I think it's Hooker and Woods, and then I think that, you know, the Winston is going to have some kind of role. So, you know, what else are we talking about here? Tight end?
Well, tight end, yeah. Like
I guess.
But, again, even with that, like, I think Chig is going to make the team, is going to play a lot. Gunnar Helm, who apparently made another good catch up the seam again yesterday, like, it looks like he's going to be tight end number 2 for them, right? So, you know, how many tight ends are they going to keep? Where does Wiley factor into that? You know, that's an interesting thing. But to your point, like starters, how many position battles do they actually have right now? And for a team that is expected to be not very good, to not have more position battles amongst starters is pretty interesting heading into all this.
Yeah, so if that's what you mean, Coy, starting position battles, yeah, there's not There's not much. I mean, definitely the tight ends are interesting in who's going to play and all that stuff. And, yeah, look, I feel like Gunnar Helm, and this is exactly what you wanted when you picked him, has a chance to emerge. But I guess the position battles, the battles are more like at the end of the room. The back of the room at receiver.
Who's third receiver going to be, right? Who's the fourth receiver going to be? Like, what's the rotation that those guys end up going with by the time week one rolls around? But, like, we know Lockett's going to play a lot. Obviously, Ridley's going to play a lot. Van Jefferson has been around, probably going to play a lot. But, you know, how often does Io Manor get in there? How do they use DK? Like, that to me, as far as receiver is concerned, that to me is one of the most fascinating parts is, like, because DK's got the speed, right? Like, you're talking about a 4-3 guy. So how often do they use him? How do they use him in their offense when you've got that kind of speed?
Yeah, and he had a red zone TD in the back of the end zone yesterday, so it's not, you know, so he's being used in different ways. And, yeah, look, Texter asks if wide receiver two is a battle. Yeah, look, I think after Ridley, keep an open mind.
Yeah.
And Io Manor, there's some positive signs there. So, look, the guy's pretty fluid, and as people have pointed out, if you want to go, you know, the Travis Hunter comparison, he put like almost 300 on him in a game now. Was it really putting 300 directly on Travis Hunter? Different coverages, man zone. But he was, I believe, in his range, covering him a lot, and he torched him. So, by the way, is that tonight?
What's that?
Little Travis playing offense and defense?
Are they playing tonight?
It's definitely this weekend, and they have already said
supposed
they
to
are
play both sides.
They're going to play him on both sides.
That is tomorrow. Tomorrow against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right, there you go. Yeah, Alex asked about returner. Yeah, and we'll ask Garski about this. James Prochet, is he effective enough that he's making it like he's too good? You have to keep him. I mean, I still have my doubts about that just because of the numbers game. But maybe.
Oh, and what about Spears? Like, does Spears factor into the return game? You know, we talked yesterday about the running game, and he's going to hopefully be more involved in that. But I still think you're going to see Pollard with the majority of the carries. And we'll see, you know, we talked about yesterday, does Pollard get, you know, 250 carries this year? Is that what you're looking at, or does that come down a little bit from a year ago? We'll see what happens on that front. But like Spears, we talk about trying to get him in open space. Well, if he can catch the ball on the return game, that would be a good way to get him in open space. But you gotta make sure you're catching the punts and kicks.
That is true. You gotta start there with the catching. Liam says, this is the time of year for hope, even if we know crushing reality is like around the corner. Maybe some people like the idea of PK sneaking into their bedroom with a sharp stick to wake them up from the rare pleasant dream, but best to keep your head down and focus on your job at the Dirt Factor, I guess. I feel like PK often offers up positive commentary, does he not?
Positive PK?
Yeah, positive PA. But even like, when things are good, they're good. I don't remember when the Titans were good. I don't remember PK trying to soil everything every day.
Real mature, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he would. You know, anything went wrong, he would ask a question about it. I'm glad he asked the question of Cam Ward yesterday about did he have a target? That was good. We needed that question.
Jeff from Nebraska asking, to go along with Titans Twitter complaining about reporters, why can't most of them realize that Xavier Restrepo might not be very good? The guy's like wide receiver 8 right now. This is from Jeff from Nebraska on the text line.
Are there a lot of reporters singing his praises?
I think he's talking about people complaining about Titans reporters, not necessarily reporters.
Oh, why can't the Titans Twitter? I thought you meant the report. I'm sorry, Jeff. Yeah, well, although he made some plays yesterday. You're saying that after a good day for Xavier Restrepo. But, yeah, I'm not. I think what Gentry said the other day is probably true. They're probably going to be okay sneaking him on the practice squad. That's probably what's going to be. So I'm going to be wrong about him making the team, I think.
I will say, though, like, we know that when that game rolls around on Saturday, you know who's going to make a lot of plays for them. We know this. Mason Kinsey, probably going to make a lot of plays coming up on Saturday. Like, I will be watching Restrepo. Like, I would imagine Restrepo is going to play a lot. And it's probably going to be a little bit deeper into the game, but he's going to play a lot on Saturday. So, can you, like, there is – if you're him, you have to understand that from this point on, your opportunities to impress are going to be very limited. So you have got to make the most of it. And apparently he had a good day at practice on Wednesday before they went down there and then followed it up with a decent day yesterday. So credit to him for doing that. But now you, in the games, when they come around, we've reached the point where he's probably going to have to do something pretty special to make this team.
Yeah, I would think so. And there's always the possibility of injury, but short of that, because again, one of my things I wondered coming into camp, okay, Van Jefferson,
yeah, you
know, even Lockett, and I, you know, it's pretty clear those guys are going to be in the rotation at this point. So then you just, as we've said many times, the fourth rounders are going to be on the team, and actually, I think the fourth rounders have acquitted themselves pretty well anyway. So it's not even a question. It's not like Des Fitzpatrick that year where it's like, oh boy,
yeah,
this is not good. And there was plenty of opportunity, and that was pretty stunning. I still thought he'd make the team because I'm sure we said the same thing, right? It was like, well, he's a fourth rounder, he's going to make the team. And it was like, actually, no.
Apparently,
these guys are going to make the team because they're much better. If you want to make comparisons, than he was in his camp.
Yeah, and the receiving core is at a different spot too, right? There's no AJ Brown walking around out there. You know, they're in a different spot as a team. So those guys are going to make it. Yeah, you know, we went through the receiving room the other day. There's six guys you feel pretty good about right now. Like TD said it yesterday, and we'll get his thoughts on it at 8 o'clock. But he basically said it's pretty hard to imagine at this point, given what he's done in camp, Bryce Oliver not being on the team, right? So if Bryce Oliver is had the camp where, you know, people who are watching him and covering him every day just kind of consider him almost a shoe-in to make it at this point, well, you're running out of spots at wide receiver pretty quickly for guys like Restrepo.
Right, and then the Prochet thing is interesting. I'm interested to hear PK say. He also had an interesting tweet yesterday about Jaquan Jackson getting a much more prominent role, which is interesting, and you could take that as, are the Titans, are they – it's not like you're gonna get anything for Jaquan Jackson, but are they trying to see? Are they trying to give him one last shot? Like, that's an interesting thought too. But he's a guy that we hardly ever talk about,
and
with good reason.
Get prepared to watch a lot of Brandon Allen and Tim Boyle coming up tomorrow. I know PK in particular is excited about watching Tim Boyle. I hope Tim Boyle goes out there and just lights it up against Tampa Bay.
I hope Brian Callahan noticed that his former employer put Joe Burrow out there for a couple drives, 9-10, 122 yards, 2 touchdowns against the Eagles. Now, granted, that is 2 drives, and that ends up being a lot of time on the field because they were successful drives. But, if Cam Ward comes out Saturday and it's 3 and out, I know he'll be out for another series. What if they go 3 and out again?
Yeah.
Then bring him out for another series. I mean, to me, you should want at least, about 20 plays out of Cam Ward.
I didn't know Desmond Ridder was in Cincinnati, but apparently he is. 7 of 16 yesterday, 91 yards and a touchdown. So
slight,
we'll see how that goes.
Slight step down from Joe Burrow to Desmond Ridder.
Got Jake Browning in there still, though. Hey, quarterback room's deep in Cincinnati. Shout out to Desmond.
Yeah. Joe Blacko says the Colts are tanking for Arch. Again, we just – his grandpa just said he's not coming out next year.
Yeah. Well, so don't ask him about it then. Nobody's going to ask Arch about it. That's what I heard earlier today.
Oh, that's right.
Nobody's going to ask Arch about it the rest of the year.
Even at the end of the year, they win the national championship, and no one will even think to ask it. Arch, have a good offseason. Bye, buddy.
We'll see you. See you at fall camp.
I can't think of any questions for you that I would have. So good luck with your life, whatever happens in your life. We don't even want to know what it might be.
615-737-1025. Our phone number. Paul Kuharsky will join us for the next hour. We will get his thoughts on everything that he saw yesterday at the joint practices with Tampa Bay and look ahead to the game coming up tomorrow. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5 The Game.